Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat room where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may email your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments at area code 567-259-6043. Like us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/basic-instructions-before-leaving-earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, and thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And I welcome you all to this house tonight, because tonight we will be studying again from the book of Revelations. And as a footnote, remember all lessons and instructions are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. Now, this is an administrative note. Again, as a reminder, every 15 minutes, we will pause for Q&A, questions and answers. And I highly suggest, so boredom does not come into play, meaning that you are not just listening and not taking part, have your Bibles open and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, I want to take this time to personally thank those of you who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you. And as our theme song for our show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add the rest to you." Jesus said, "Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I will give you rest and peace unto your souls." Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my words, and the Father will love you, and he and I will make our abode in you." The question is, are you standing on the promises? Now, to the study. My brothers and sisters, and all of you listeners out there, the last time we met, we were in episode 3, identifying the seals that are to be broken or to be opened by the Lamb that was slain. Tonight, I want to expand upon the episode, make it episode 0.1, because we did not, at the last sitting, complete the seals. Now, what I'd like to do is give you a little background for especially the listeners that are just now joining us, that the fifth gospel, the book of Revelations as I consider it, is because the gospel is good news. And the good news of the revelation, more especially with the opening of the seals, is that we know that the world will not end as we know it until all seven seals have been broken or opened. So what we're doing is looking at these seven seals and trying to discern where we are in the opening of all seven. We went through the first two seals, and we realized that the first seal we are in, the conquering. The second seal we are in, the red. And now we're going to look at the third seal. And the instruction of the third seal says, the third seal was a measure. Now what we're going to do is go to the book of Revelations, chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. So all of you students out there, open up your Bibles, if you will, and read along with me as I begin, or take notes. The instruction is focused on the seal being a measure. And this is what Revelations chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 says. It says, "And he that had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." So we can see from this reading that in the beginning, the word tells us that there was darkness upon the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we can discern from the black horse that this is an evil period. And we can also understand from the measure that there are two instances here. One is a positive measure, and the other is not so positive, if you will. Now what we're going to do is connect this revelation that Jesus has given us to the Old Testament, where we can make a comparison. And we're going to go to Job chapter 1, verse 1, and then we're going to do verse 6 and 12. This is what Job says, and this is the tie-in of the measure that I'm talking about. Job chapter 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was, listen everyone, perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Okay, so we can compare Job to the oil and the wine, and this is what verse 6 through 12 says, and that's the next reading. Verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." And we know from research that those sons of God at that time were the angels that were being spoken of. "And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And we know from the second seal, the red represents Satan, and we know that he is raising havoc in the world. Now, verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear the Lord for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the works of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land?" Now we can look at that again, oil and wine. We who are born again Christians, who have the indwelling, we are that oil and wine that is being identified here in Job. Verse 11, "Put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." And now we know that the psalmist tells us that the afflictions of the righteous are many, but God shall deliver them from them all. So that is the hedge removed from us, my brothers and sisters, that we are going to face tribulations, because Jesus even said that he has told us what he has, that his peace may remain in us, because in the world we shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer, he has overcome the world. So he is showing us that this is the case way back in the book of Job. And now we're going to go to Job chapter 2, verse 6, 5 and 6, and see further how God dealt with Satan. When the scripture, the verse 5 and 6 of chapter 2 says this, "But put forth thy hand now, and touch his bones and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." That was Satan telling God that if he would not, he would take that hedge from around Job, that this would happen. But remember, our indwelling remains with us. God says, "I will not leave you, nor fail you, nor forsake you, as long as you keep my commandments." So this is what we're looking at. And verse 6, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life." So again, that measure comes into play. And that is what we're talking about in this third seal. So we know from all of this explanation of the Bible that we are in the first three seals of Revelation. And now I would ask you, if you have a question, please get to the chatterbox that the host identified, or text or email, however you can do that, so you can give me some input on this, because I am telling you, I am a student teacher, and I only am giving you my understanding of this revelation. Now we'll go to the second instruction, and this is the second instruction. It says, the fourth seal represents death and hell. And the text we're going to be reading from is Revelations again, chapter 6. Verse 7 and verse 8. And this is what it says about the fourth seal represents death and hell. It says, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and he and his name that sat on him was death and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth." And what I'm saying, my listeners, brothers and sisters, if you look at the world today over in the other countries, you can see that there is death with the sword and with hunger. And there is death with the beasts of the field. So you can see that this is occurring now. And we know that death and hell is a part of the real world that we are living in. For what happened in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, God said to Adam, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that I told you not to eat of? That the day you eat thereof, you would surely die." And that death brings into mind the hell that we are also suffering because of that death. If you're not in Jesus Christ, then your destiny through death could be hell. That's the point. And now what we're going to do is go to the book of Genesis. Again, I just mentioned it to you, but that's the tie-in. That's the complement to this revelation in chapter 6 that we just read. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 through 17. And this is what it says, and I am just reiterating it because I didn't give you the chapter and verse to begin with. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and this is what it says. It says, "And God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So this is what is telling us that the seals 1, 2, 3, and 4 have been opened. Again, go to the chat box. If you need to text me, however you will get me that information, please do so. And now we'll have a break.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you felt like you would give up nearly anything to get it? There are many pleasures in this life that will tell you that they can give you fulfillment or happiness or meaning. But I believe that each and every one of us have reached that point where we finally get that something that we want, only to discover that all it ultimately held for us was disappointment. And so we move on to the next thing, and then the next, and the next. And some of us are left wondering, is there even a purpose to our lives? Did you know that God understands that we need fulfillment? It's how He created us. And He didn't leave us without an answer. God has given us the answer to a fulfilled life, and that answer is found in a promise. But it's a promise that sometimes we don't want to hear. In Matthew 16:25, Jesus says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Some of us are engaged in such a determined pursuit of a fulfilling life that we are passing right by the only one who can truly give us life. The issue is not that life is a bad thing. God desires us to have life and life to the full. However, the issue is that some of us have made life a bigger thing than Jesus. We have chosen the pursuit of life over the pursuit of Christ. The question Jesus is asking us in Matthew 16:25 is, what am I worth to you? What is Jesus worth to you and me? He made it very clear what we were worth to Him when He gave up His life for us in a horribly tragic and painful way. He made it very clear what we were worth to Him when He allowed Himself to be crucified for something He did not do, for something we did. Galatians 2:20 is a powerful statement that we as believers need to live by. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." A life of pursuit after Jesus is a life of friendship with Him. When we choose to seek Him first, He fills us with His Holy Spirit and He lives in us. When that happens, we're no longer looking to receive life from the things we see or the things we can get. Once that happens, we're walking in the life that He provides. And that is a life worth living.
Just remember, you can email us your questions or comments at hallelujahpete@gmail.com, or you can text us with your questions or comments at 567-259-6043.
Okay.
Hey, Pete. You
now.
Have a listener that has a question for you. I'll bring
yes.
His name's Carl, and he's from Ohio.
Yes.
Hi, Carl. You are on the air with Hallelujah Pete.
Carl?
This is me.
Yes.
Yeah. We were just trying to get in. I have a question, but I can't think of what it is right now. We were trying to get in, and we had difficulty getting in. It wasn't that I had a question, but I just want to support you guys with my prayers and keep up the good work, and I love you guys. You're my brethren. So
love you too, yeah. Carl. Appreciate you. All right. When
well,
you figure your question,
get through. We had a little trouble getting through, Carol and I, but
okay.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Now, for the benefit of our new listeners, here is the show's format. The stressing of the spiritual aspect of the Bible rather than the physical. And we know that Jesus said that it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Number two, identifying at least one instruction from every chapter from every book in the Bible. You know that there are 1,400 chapters, so we're talking about many instructions, and in fact, I'm only choosing those that are stimulating me. There are probably many, many, many more, because we know that every word from the mouth of God is what feeds men. Number three, relating true and faithful sayings from non-traditional scriptures. For example, there is a book written, the Apocrypha, the book, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the fragment, Gospel of Thomas, as some refer to it as Papyrus 654 and Papyrus 655. Four, drills associated with standing on God's promises. Five, engaging in Bible exercises. Six, using the New Testament to substantiate the Old Testament. Seven, using the Old Testament to substantiate the New Testament. Eight, having open dialogue with listeners, as you just heard as Carl and I spoke. Nine, all lessons are spiritually intensive. I am standing on God's word, and so chapter and verse is significant. 10, to be innovative and provocative. That is the format of the show. And now, back to the study. We're looking at the fifth seal, and it is a representation of the white robe. And this is where we're going to look at what the book of Revelation says about it. The text is Revelations verse 6, verse 9 through 11. And this is what Revelation says about the white robe. It says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And this is what occurred." Verse 11 says, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it is said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So this is what we're looking at, my listeners, my brothers and sisters. That white robe is critical for us to receive. And those of us who are born again and have the indwelling, you can construe that as your white robe, especially the indwelling. And now this is what the Old Testament complements this revelation with. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 61, the book of Isaiah chapter 61. We're going to be reading verse 3 and verse 10 in Isaiah. And this is what was said by the prophet. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, and this is what the prophet says. It says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And we know that Jesus used verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 61 when he said, "The spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he used that in the synagogue, and all the eyes were fastened on him. And he said, "Today you have heard this scripture that is verified in my announcing it," if you will. And you can see that he appointed to us who are born again Christians the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That is, again, construed as that white robe. And verse 10 of the same reading, Isaiah 61, it says in verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me, white robe, with the garments of salvation. He has covered me, white robe, with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. So we can see the connection there with the presentation of the white robe. And as what the Revelation tells us, that in time, when all of those who are called to be come together, then Jesus will avenge us for the slaughter that we're facing this side of eternity. All right, get those comments to me. I want to hear from you. If you have something more to say, and I want to receive that so I can also learn more of what you know that I don't know. We're going to go to the next seal, which is the sixth seal, and the instruction is the sixth seal signals the end. Okay? The sixth seal signals the end. So we know that we are in at least the fifth seal. 1 through 5 has been opened. Now let's look at the sixth seal and see what it says. Revelation chapter 6, again, verse 12 through 17. And this is what it says about that sixth seal. It says, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. So we can see, again, verse 16 says, and he said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. That's what they said. And hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb of God. So you can see that this has not yet occurred. If some of you out there know of more than that, let me know. So this is very significant. We're talking about good news, and we know the good news is that at the end of the opening of all seven seals, the end will come. So good news is telling us the end will not come yet because we're only in five seals. The sixth seal has not been broken. That doesn't mean it won't happen in the twinkling of an eye, but we know right now as we speak, this has not occurred. And we're going to go to Psalms 73, which is going to complement the reading of this revelation. Psalms 73, verse 16 through 19. This is what David, under his inspiration, received from the Lord. Psalms 73, verse 16 through 19. And this is what the psalmist said. In fact, it was not David. I sit corrected. It was a psalm of Asaph. Remember, David did not, all of the 150 psalms that are in our canon, David did not write. Some were written by other men, and this was written by Asaph. And it's Psalm 73, verse 16 through 19. And this is what it says. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. So we can see from this reading that we are actually mimicking the end times, the sixth seal, what the Spirit said to the church at that time. And so now what we're going to do, if you have questions or comments, please get them to me. You know how to do that. We're going to go into the seventh seal. Again, we're going to review this, even though it has not occurred yet, just like I'm saying the sixth seal has not occurred. The seventh seal tells the story of the end era. Okay? Now, today, most theologians have identified four eras in Christianity. You have, or three eras: the patriarchal era, the Mosaic era, and the Christian era. I submit to you, my brothers and sisters who are listening, that the book of Revelations gives us an understanding of a fourth era, and that is the era of the end times that we're reading about now. It is good also to realize that the individuals that were in the patriarchal era did not know that there was more than one era, meaning before the Mosaic era, the patriarchs were just in conclusion that they were, there was one era. Then we have the Mosaic era, and the same held true. They did not know that it was going to be a Christian era. And so today, our theologians think that the three eras are the only eras that exist. But I'm presenting to you tonight that there is a fourth era, and that's the era that we're going to be going into when the seventh seal is broken. And now I think we're going to take a break.
Today is a new day. It will bring brand new blessings and brand new battles. But within every uncertainty, there is hidden possibility. So I don't dread any challenge that lies ahead, because I remember all the victories behind. And my confidence is not in my circumstance. The Spirit of God is my supply. I'm steady under pressure, and I'm ready for whatever, because whatever comes my way today, the outcome is I overcome. Christ is in me. I am enough. I can handle it. I can't afford to stay afraid or let my faith hesitate. My purpose is at stake. And he who called me is faithful. His strength in me is greater than any pain I feel or enemy I face. The promise of God is mine for the taking. Every plan he has made is guaranteed to come to pass. It will happen. If I don't back down, if I won't let go, it will happen. If I don't stop short, if I won't sell out, it will happen by faith. But faith doesn't take the fear away. It teaches me to fight it. So bring the battle. I'm ready now. I've got something for Goliath. I can handle it. My power flows from presence, so I won't stay stuck in what was or worry about what will be. My regrets have been redeemed, and my tests have become my lessons. My focus is fixed, and my heart is expectant. I'm set. I'm not nervous about what's next, because my eyes are on the throne. I trust the one who's in complete control, the one who already knows how he's going to work it according to his purpose. Even the worst situations are sure to turn in my favor. If I keep moving forward, keep moving toward him, God is with me in this moment. And whatever happens, I can handle it. I know my help comes from above. So if fear insists on knocking, I'll meet it at the door. Life might give me bad news, but I've still got a good report. I can handle it. If I fall, if I fail, I'll handle it. Grace will give me what it takes to carry on. I can handle it. I have humbled myself under the mighty hand of God. Christ is in me. I am enough. And when the time is right, he'll lift me up. Till then, the lion may roar, but I see his leash, so I keep moving forward. Because I've been down before, but my hope knows how to bounce back from rock bottom. What I need, God's got it. And I'm stronger. I'm better. It's settled. I'm ready. I'm focused. I'm hopeful.
Pete. We have a,
yes.
a question from a listener. Is it possible for a person's name to be erased from the Book of Life?
Yes, this great is the question. I really appreciate who said or asked the question. It's in the Book of Revelations. We will go to that area. In fact, we've already come upon part of it. If you go to the book, the second chapter of the Book of Revelations, it will tell you with the Spirit speaking to the church at Sardis that if you do not do what God or the Spirit is speaking to the church, your name will be erased out of the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the first instance. Then we'll note when we go further on into the chapter in the latter part of Revelations, maybe it's chapter 21 or 22, it gives again a judgment about the books. Now, there are more than just one book. The Book of Revelations is one of several books that are going to be open. And if you are not doing the commandments of God, yes, you can be eliminated out of the Book of Life and be thrown in the lake of fire with the devil and death and hell and the false prophets. I hope that I've answered your question.
Okay. And
okay,
then Carl
Chris?
From Ohio has another question.
Yes.
This is Carl from Ohio.
Yes.
It talks about some of the terrible things that are happening to the Christians in those countries, especially the Eastern countries. Now, how suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. Now, this talks just about certain ones. Is this the beginning of the time that will happen to the whole world so that all
yes.
of us are vulnerable? Yes. And this is
amen.
Yeah, this is in Psalm 73:19, how suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are
yes.
like a dream when one wakes. When you rise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. Now, this seems very judgmental and awful, but we have to remember that we are held accountable, and we're in a nation now that, I should say, in the state, in the world now, where there's so much terrible things happening already to those people in Christian countries. We haven't had this happen in America yet, but there are countries that have had people decapitated by those, and yet they stood up and said, Jesus, Jesus, my Lord, while they were being decapitated. And
yes.
so I think this shows that we may have one of these times to do the same thing, be strong yes. enough and faithful enough to face the terror. That terror will become no terror at all once we, I think. I think God will take away that pain because we will stand up to the Lord and be his called upon.
Good.
I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yes, that's a good point, Carl, and I'm glad that you gave us that understanding. But I'll tell you, my precious brother, we are right now in the United States feeling the effects of that psalm. Even if it's not as increased or the level is not as horrific in the United States as it is, say, in Asia or in Africa or some parts of the other continents. But we are in that era where the devil is controlling the interests of mankind. If you are not part of the indwelling, if you're not born again, you definitely will feel the impact of that. But being born again is just like when the Israelites were in the land of Goshen, the 10 plagues that plagued Egypt. The Bible tells us at least four of those 10 that did not enter Goshen. And remember, if you will, that the blood that was poured on the doorpost protected those who were in Goshen and in Egypt, by the way, that put that blood of the Lamb on their doorpost from that angel of death that passed over. Appreciate you asking that question, Carl. Thank you. Do you have any others, Chris? Okay.
Not this
so
time.
We will continue. What I'm going to do now, again, for the benefit of our new listeners the show's program description. This is the premise. Basic instructions before leaving Earth, the Bible. It includes the entire review of the 66 books of the canon according to Protestant authority using the old King James Version and are regulated by 5 points. The first point is reviewing every book in the Bible from Genesis through Revelations in the order established by the instructor. Point two, identifying instructions from every chapter out of every book according to the instructor. Now, the instructions are the opinion of the teacher and can be added to or taken away from at the discretion of the listener or those that are taking part in this study. I am not the absolute authority on anything. I consider myself a student teacher, and in that vein, I'm just as opinionated as anyone else. Point three, the instructions shall be matched to both the Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures to specify an exact relationship to the Testament and the instructions. Point four, to give personal interpretation of lessons by the instructor, which are open to dialogue with the listeners. Thank you, Carl, for dialoguing with me. And point five, scriptures are used to validate opinions. So regardless of what I'm saying, I'm going to give you chapter and verse to validate those. Now, on to the next study. The seventh seal tells the story of the end era, which we began with, and we're going to go to Revelations chapter 8. And my brothers and sisters, all you listeners, we're talking about Revelations chapter 8 through Revelations chapter 22, the end of the book. But we're just going to dialogue for a second on Revelations chapter 8 because it specifically tells about this seventh seal that is critical to the end time. And it says, chapter 8, verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now with that, the rest of the reading I'll leave to you. The point is that the seventh seal, when it broke, there was silence for a moment in time. Nothing occurred. We can remember when one of the plagues in Egypt, there was darkness that was so thick for the time it plagued Egypt that they could not move or see their hands or anything. So we're talking about a moment in time that's going to identify the opening of this seventh seal. And we're going to go to Daniel. That's going to complement exactly what we're talking about. Daniel chapter 12 is where the prophet received a glimpse of what we're talking about right now. Daniel chapter 12, this is what is said by the prophet in verse 1, verse 4, verse 8, and verse 9. And this is what Daniel says. Daniel says, or this is what is said, and at the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book of life. Again, the question that came in from one of the listeners, there is an identification of that book that was written. That's the book of life. And now we're going to go to verse 4, and this is what verse 4 says. For thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. This is what we're doing. We're running to and fro. We're gaining knowledge and wisdom and understanding of what these seven seals signify. This is what verse 8 says. and I heard but understood not. Then said I, O my God, what shall be the end of these things? And the verse 9 says, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. My brothers and sisters, listeners, this is the time of the end. When Jesus was slain and ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, God gave him this prophecy, this good news, this fifth gospel called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It's identified in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 1 that God sent this information to us by his angel and gave it to John the Revelator. And thus, what Daniel was told to shut up in the book has opened to our reality. So that is the seven seal conclusion. We must realize that the sixth and seventh seal has not occurred to date. So that is good news for we who are still around looking for the Lord to come. That doesn't mean he won't tarry. He will take you in your lifetime, but that does not mean that the end of the world will be. And that's the significance of the opening of the seven seals. Okay, so that being said, if you have any questions or comments, please get them to me so I can get them under that I can take part in this learning process. That is what I'm trying to say. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. The next instruction, it says, beware of the sounds of the seven trumpets. Now we just read, and this is going to be an expansion of that seventh seal being broken. All of these things now are going to occur after the seventh seal is broken. So we're going to be listening for seven trumpet sounds. And this is what Revelation says, the text we're using, chapter 8, verse 2. This is what it says about those trumpets. It says in verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given the seven trumpets. Now we're going to go to verse 6. It says, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And we're going to read 7 through 10. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. The third part of trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became red. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the waters of the rivers. And the name of the angel, or the name of the star, is called Wormwood. Now we're going to go to verse 12. It says, and the first fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and night likewise. And we're going to go to now verse, or that is the conclusion of the verses. And we know that that has not occurred yet in our experience or in our lifetime. So these are things that will occur after the seventh seal has been opened. And now we're going to have a break, and I'll conclude after the break.
Blind spots are the places that we allow ourselves not to be changed. Areas that you won't allow your faith to touch. Where your faith is not penetrating and you don't see it. Vengeance and anger and hurt create blind spots. I'm not talking about good people and evil people, right people and wrong people. I'm talking about places where there should be love, but there's hate. Like maybe your heart. I wonder what is in your blind spot. Who is suffering in your blind spot for the lack of something that you refuse to give? Some people are nicer to strangers than they are to their own family. How can you say that you love God and hate me just because you're gifted and just because you're anointed and just because you're successful doesn't mean you're right? Just because you made a lot of money doesn't mean you're right. You cannot substitute cash for righteousness. If God measures the saturation of our faith by the way we treat people, how deep is yours? How deep are you really? What I'm asking you to do is to reflect the mercy you have been given. The reason I have to be merciful is because I have received mercy. And every time I want to be judgmental, I keep remembering something that God did in my life. Mercy doesn't end with you. Mercy begins with you. I think God wants to make you a sanctuary. He wants to make your heart a sanctuary. This is not about them. This is about you. God wants you to be free.
Amen.
What's in your blind spot?
Welcome back to Hallelujah Pete.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. And now we'll conclude, or we will continue with the instruction on beware of the sound of the seven trumpets. We've already identified where in the book of Revelations it has been given to us. Now what we're going to do is go to the complementary source, meaning the Old Testament. And the reason I use the Old Testament, they must compare and agree. Jesus said he came to fulfill, not to destroy. And so that is the reason that we use both testaments to substantiate one another. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, 6, and 7, this is what it says concerning this revelation. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Of course, we know we're talking about the flood. But listen, my brothers, we have to extenuate and look beyond, if you will. We got to extrapolate and to infer that these are a connection, because those who are studied and learned know that the Old Testament gives a foresight to what is written in the New Testament, and the New Testament points back at the Old Testament for validity. Now, verse 13 says, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And he said in verse 17, and behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth, so to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Now we know that God concluded the first episode of the destruction of mankind. But because of grace, which we could not see, or they could not see at that time, there was a remnant that was allowed to continue. And that remnant has continued unto this day, and we are part of that remnant. But when the sounds of these seven trumpets are completed, and all of what the book of Revelation is telling us will happen, does happen, then there is going to be the coup de grace, the end of it all. There won't be destruction by water. There'll be destruction by fire. And when we get into the last chapters of Revelation, we will see that that will end it all. So again, I'm giving you my opinion. Channel into me. Give me some input. Let me know what you're thinking and how you can help me build up my faith even more, because that is what I'm trying to do in this study, to build us up in the most holy faith, not to tear down. And if you cannot receive what you're hearing, that's okay. I tell you to be saved according to your path and your calling with God Almighty. Now, the next instruction is going to be the seal of God in their foreheads. This is another situation that will occur, and we know that the sealing of the Holy Ghost has, you might say, engulfed us all that are born-again Christians, all right? So the seal of God in their foreheads is in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, and this is what it says. It says, "And it came, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which had not the seal of God in their foreheads." That is going to be critical. And that seal, I say, is the indwelling. Remember in the exercises, the standing on God's promises. Tonight we said that Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 23, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and the Father will love you, and he and I will come and make our abode in you." That is the indwelling, my brothers and sisters, that we're talking about. And that's the significance of what this study is telling us. Now, we're going to complement this with what the psalmist gave us in Psalms 37, and we're going to be reading from verse 3, 4, and 5. Psalms 37, this one is attributed to King David. Psalms 37, and this is what the psalmist said. I'm going to read first verse 1 because that is critical. This is what David is telling us. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." So in this time in our lives, we should not be overwhelmed concerning the COVID-19 virus. It is going to destroy many individuals as it has already, and it's going to continue to be with us. But we, under David's summons, says, "Fret not thyself." And this is what verse 3 says, "If we fret not ourselves, we should trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." So David is giving us an understanding. And now we will break and prepare for closing.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, on Blog Talk Radio. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us next Wednesday, June the 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for episode 5 of Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.